Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, good Friday afternoon. This is your host, Ann Revelle Petcher, on Wilmington Business Radio on a nice, sunny, and warming up afternoon, which we're so grateful for here. We have two guests today that are helping Wilmington be better employed, get that job done, and have the house of their dreams. The two things you really want when you're coming to Wilmington. I'd like to introduce Lindsay Smith from Green Resources. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. And my neighbor, sometimes neighbor, erstwhile neighbor, Dave Spitrino from Plantation Building.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. I'm going to spend a couple few minutes here with Lindsay. So, Dave, hang tight for just a minute. Don't go away. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about what Green Resources is.
Green Resources is a recruiting and staffing company. We're here in Wilmington with a small office that used to be A and B personnel.
Okay.
Their corporate office is in Raleigh, North Carolina, and have been in business for about 13 years there.
Now, you say it's staffing and recruiting. Is there a differentiation between what those two things are?
Absolutely. In fact, it's two separate things.
Okay. Tell me about that.
We have a customer or a client that contacts us that has a need for a particular type employee. When we actually put that person in the job, that's what I consider staffing.
I see.
But the process of finding that right person is our recruiting process.
Uh-huh, okay.
So it's a twofold way there.
So sometimes are these positions across the board, or you do specialize in a particular industry or a particular level of employment?
We are completely across the board,
really?
Which is wonderful
yeah.
about our company. We have three separate divisions, actually. One is our professional division,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we place administrative, professional employees and candidates in jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We have an IT division where we specialize in the IT arena. And then we have a light industrial productivity staffing where we place maintenance, warehouse, and light industrial jobs.
And so the office type people would fall under
professional.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just trying to get a lay of the land mm-hmm. here. What kinds of companies are you working with in Wilmington?
Well, here in Wilmington, I'll give you an example of some of our clients
sure.
that we work with. One is Cape Fear Community College right
oh,
here downtown.
Great. Our neighbor.
Yes. And we, every year, every semester actually, we staff the additional help they need in the bookstores.
Oh, good.
Needless to say, there's a large rush for book buying. And we put about 10 or 12 people each semester in those jobs. And the neat thing about that is they don't need these people all the time.
Uh-huh.
So we provide them. A lot of them go back each semester if
oh.
they're still available, or we find new people there. We also place at Cape Fear about 10 people in the IT arena.
Oh, interesting.
As well as in the accounting department, too. A lot of times colleges such as that have positions that are not permanent or
okay.
Don't have the permission to hire somebody on full, so they can use a company such as ours to fill the needs that
So these are mostly contract workers in that case.
Those are contract workers. Other arenas we work in are, for example, Air Wilmington.
Oh, tell me about Air Wilmington.
Yes.
What's that?
Air Wilmington is the private airport behind ILM.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people don't know about it, but
uh-huh.
that's where all the private planes and the military planes
okay.
come into. And they use our services exclusively to place their line technicians. And a line technician is a lot more than what it sounds like. Not only do these employees work on fueling the planes, servicing the planes, but they also have to have the personality to meet and greet and do whatever the customers of Air Wilmington, the pilots and the company owners
uh-huh.
and people coming in that arena.
Well, it sounds to me like you recruit for a broad spectrum of kinds of positions. So how is it that you guys are so good at matching up the right people with the right job?
It is a talent.
Really?
It is a talent. And I have come to find that out being with Green for a little over a year. And I will put the credit into the pocket of our recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't walk into a job and become a recruiter.
What do you have to know to be a recruiter?
You have to know how to read personalities,
ah.
how to dig out of not only our clients and our candidates
mm-hmm.
what type of person they are, their skills, their personality.
Is that one of the things you think that makes Green Resources a little different than some of the other firms in town?
I think that's a large part of it, because we have about 45 employees in Raleigh, and there are 3 here in Wilmington.
Okay. So you share back and forth in terms of assignments?
We do sometimes. So here in Wilmington, we most of the time deal with jobs here in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. But we are staffing some in Raleigh ourselves here with a current client that's based here in Wilmington. We place positions such as engineering jobs, civil engineers.
Oh, really?
And in Raleigh, though, they have an actual IT division mm-hmm. separate with their own director of client development and their own recruiters.
Well, we'll have to get them to do more down here so we get more IT people down here in Wilmington,
right? And they are working on a position with us right
Excellent.
Now.
Excellent. So, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yes, absolutely. So that's where we're a little bit different. We care not only about the employer, but we mm-hmm. care about our employees, our candidates, and our contractors that we put to work.
You touch them a lot, right?
We do.
It's not just the interview mm-hmm. and then you never see them again.
Right. We're constantly in touch with them. And Green looks at our candidates that go in a job. They are a part of our Green team as well, and they represent Green. So when we place an employee, we're not trying to just put a body in a job and get paid for
right.
it. We want that to be a long-term, and we take great pride in, particularly in the contract to hire jobs. The employer has the right, if this person is not a good fit, to say, hey, this is not right, we want somebody else. And we take great pride in putting someone in a job and keeping them long-term till they're hired on full-time with that employer.
Yeah, that's great. That's just, you think about the times when, especially small businesses, it's mm-hmm. really hard to make sure that you're getting not just the right skill set, but the right personality fit.
Oh, the personality is so important. And one of the things that we do in Raleigh as well as here in Wilmington, particularly when we get a new client, mm-hmm. I'm the first one that they're in contact with. So I'm doing the digging and the researching and finding out about what kind of person they want, what skill set they want, what the job is. But then I will take our recruiter with me to this place of business to meet the hiring manager
and get
so
a
that
feel
our recruiter sees. And, yeah. Personality and culture, every office, every business is different. And where you might work great in this job, you might not work great in that one just because of the culture or your personality. So that's very important to match that as well as the skill set.
So what's your role there at Green Resources?
I'm the director of client development. So my job is to get businesses here in Wilmington to use our services, basically.
How do you find them? How are you finding those businesses?
In a numerous number of ways.
Well, I can tell you, audience, that I see her everywhere I go. Network queen.
That is number one. I'm very involved with the Wilmington Chamber, utilizing the events that they have. Not only the business after hours, but they have lots of great opportunities and programs. For example, one they had not too long ago was a seminar on Employment Law 101.
Ah.
And I went and learned, took our recruiter with us. Mm-hmm. It's a great learning experience for us, too. But we met about 5 or 6 different companies there that didn't have the HR and didn't have the knowledge of hiring people. Mm-hmm. I'm involved with the North Brunswick Chamber, involved with the City Club, and their great networking opportunities.
And
that
super
they
wine
have
tastings.
And the wonderful wine tastings.
It must be Friday afternoon. I don't know.
We also are very constantly involved with our current clients, staying in contact with them, visiting them, talking to them, finding out what we can do better. Word of mouth is very, very large.
It's really important, isn't it?
It's
especially,
huge.
It's all about the network.
It really is.
I was at a venture capital event last night, and they said, it's all about the network. You just get out there and get to know everybody you can know, and that's how you get anything done. And it's the same in your business.
That is so true.
So how long have you been in Wilmington?
I've been in Wilmington 3 years.
Oh, my
Almost
goodness.
Going on 4 years.
And what brought you to Green Resources specifically? Because you didn't come out of the search and employment industry, did you?
No, I was in the payroll industry for the last 12
similar.
Years.
Yep.
And the company I worked for wanted me to move to Hickory with their position. Uh-huh. And I did not want to leave Wilmington.
Aww.
My family was here, mm-hmm. and I had my lifetime plan was to
be at the
retire
beach.
Here, play, stay, go to the beach.
Sure.
And it was really ironical. I put my resume out. Here you go with your networking and
right.
knowing people. And I use this example a lot with the candidates that we're working with, too. A mutual friend, and that same day, Gary Green, the owner of Green Resources, happened to have been in her office, stated to her he was looking for a director of client development, and my resume pings her email 1 hour after he left.
Oh, my goodness.
So that started
Kismet.
the interviewing process with me. And
what made you say yes to Green? What is it about Green Resources that you found that works for you so well?
First of all, their interviewing process
really?
Was phenomenal. I knew by the time that period was over, and it took about 3 weeks. Mm. It was not one interview, okay, we want to offer you a job. I interviewed with the owners of the company.
Mm-hmm.
They had me go to lunch with the recruiter I was going to be working with to make sure that we could work hand in hand together. And by the way, she was an Auburn college student, as I was.
Man.
So we connected.
How about that? Of those Auburn guys this year, huh? So close and yet so far away.
Close was good enough.
Yes, it sure was.
But I saw in their questions and the time they took to get to know me that they wanted the right person for that job as well. And when they offered me the position, there was no doubt in my heart that it was perfect, I think, for both of us.
That's great. It really probably gave you great insight into the way they think, into how they do their business on a day-to-day basis.
It really is. And it explained to me before I even went on my first day of my job, how they operated and the kind of people that worked at Green. And since then, over these last this last year and a half almost that I've been with them, every single employee that works for them I consider a friend.
Yeah, isn't that great?
We are a green team and a very close
green team.
Yes.
What kinds of things? You're talking to so many different kinds of employers in the region. What are they facing today? What's going on out there?
One of the problems that I see is that they don't know how to hire. They don't know how to pick. And I'm not saying this is across the board, but so many of the times the people that reach out to us, they don't know how to recruit. They don't know the right questions to ask to evaluate the candidate.
And are these mostly smaller businesses? Is that where you're finding this? Or
yes,
small,
more
mid-size.
In the small to mid-size. Mm-hmm. Your larger corporations usually have wonderful HR teams on board that are experienced in this. And when they come to us, they want a partner to help them find that right candidate for that job. And we get a lot of questions, what should we pay that person?
Right.
I don't even know what the industry is going for.
Sure.
And I'm one of the problems that we are finding is that so many of the industries or companies here are paying a lower rate of pay, and our candidates are reaching out for a little bit better. So that's one of the problems or hurdles that we have to jump in, finding a great candidate for a lower rate of pay.
Right, especially people who move here from somewhere else, probably. They're used to a little bit higher payroll. How do people who are looking for a job find you? What's the best way for them to figure out how they might be a good fit for something you might have?
Well, we have a wonderful website, and when we do get a phone call from a candidate, we always guide them to the website.
Okay.
It's greenresources.com, and we are green with an E on the end.
Thank you for specifying
that.
Yes. It's hard for people on the radio to see that.
Yes. Remember, green with an E on the end. The candidates can go on our website. They can download their resume. They can search all of our jobs that we have open. They can apply for the jobs right there. I know the question that comes back at us about that is, how do you get to know these people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we advise them to call us, stop by, come see us.
Okay.
Sometimes the squeaky wheel does get oiled. And if 500 people applied for one position, we certainly are going to go and review every resume. But if you call and start just inquiring, then that gives us an opportunity to talk to you a little bit. Feel your personality, look a little harder at your resume.
So what about those people who stop by and they actually get an interview with you? I assume that your green team interviews first before they send people out on an interview.
Before we send anybody out on an interview, once they've applied for the job,
right.
First we phone screen them.
Okay.
Then if they pass that phase of it. We bring them into our office for an extensive interview with us. And then we usually try to pull about 5 or 6 of the top candidates to present to the employer.
Great.
One of the reasons they're using us is because if they put an ad on Craigslist or on Career Builders and they had 600 resumes come across, the time and effort it's going to take to go through that's phenomenal. So we do that work for them,
okay,
and then give them 5 or 6 wonderful candidates that sometimes they, we had one company that had one job, and we presented them with 2 candidates, and they hired both of them.
Oh, that's great. Well, you've got interviewing issues on both sides of that equation. Give me a sense, if you can, of some tips that you might give for both the interviewer and the interviewee. Do you have 1 or 2 hints you can share?
Sure. For the interviewee, look at your person that you're interviewing with in the eyes.
Okay.
Have eye contact. So many times we'll have people come in and they're looking to the right and looking to the left and fidgeting, and it almost looks as if you have something to hide.
Sure,
so,
right.
Keep your answers to the point. If you babble, and I'm a bad babbler, so it's not.
Oh, you're doing great on the radio. I don't know.
To give that advice, but answer the question. Don't interrupt the interviewer. Be comfortable and calm. And I know when you're nervous, it shows.
Mm-hmm.
Respect what you do, no matter if you're interviewing for a ditch digger or for a civil engineer.
It's important to the company that you're doing it for.
Important,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, so. Exactly. For the hiring manager,
right,
and their interviews, my advice to them is to also relax and treat that person with respect.
Right.
Again, no matter what the job is, because you want them to feel comfortable working for you.
Right.
Do your homework. Review their resume ahead of time. To me, nothing gets my goat than seeing somebody look at a resume and just say, what about this job? What about this job? What about this job? ask questions that require more than a yes or no answer.
Right.
And that way you'll get to know that candidate a lot better.
Exactly. Where are you guys?
We're at 5036 New Center.
Okay.
We're right next to the Staybridge Hotel between Market and College.
So you do recommend that when someone finds a job online that they actually stop by after they've applied for it?
Stop by or call us.
Okay.
It won't hurt. We open our arms to anybody coming into our office, and we appreciate it. It shows I had a candidate that called one day about a job. She had just registered online, just applied, called. She sounded great on the phone. I said, come on in. She came in. Our recruiter interviewed her, and we sent her out to the client, and she got the job.
Cool.
So there you go.
We are going to scoot over and talk to Dave Spitrino for a minute. But what I want to do just 1 second before I do is I looked at your resume, and I looked at all the boards that you're on, and I said, holy bananas. You are so involved in this community.
And thank you.
I'm so, you know, thrilled about that. Tell me about how Green is involved in the community.
First of all, Green has a philanthropic committee consisting
of
four of us employees, and I'm on that committee here representing Wilmington. We reach out to all of our employees every year and asking them what is dear to their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a budget that we present to different areas and different nonprofits that are dear. For example, here in Wilmington, my dad just passed away of Alzheimer's in August. Thank you very much. But Green helped sponsor and be involved with the walk that they had in November.
Oh, great. That's
so
good.
That was my connection here. We are also involved with the Muscular Dystrophy Association here in Wilmington. We staff for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have worked with WARM, which is your Wilmington Area Rebuilding Ministry.
Oh, okay.
We've helped them with staffing needs as well. And Green is just totally a huge nonprofit supporter.
Okay.
And in Raleigh, the businesses that they've involved with, United Way, but a large amount of businesses and nonprofits in Raleigh that. And we also offer nonprofits a discount
on
their rate. So we want to help them. They have to staff there. their business just like any other business does. So we want to help in any way we can.
That's excellent. That's great. That's actually a fabulous transition over to Dave Spitrino.
Good afternoon.
Dave, you've been so quiet and so patient over in the
corner.
Very
difficult for me to be this quiet.
I know it is. I have to say that, you know, I was lucky enough to meet Dave because he is sometimes a neighbor. And so I got to know him on a personal level. And the first thing I noticed was not just the big, huge plantation builder's signs everywhere I went. But when I finally realized that was him, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is so cool. But I got to know Dave because he's so involved in this community. And everything you've done is, I mean, you're a builder, but you've really helped build Wilmington.
Well, this is my home. When I chose to move here about 20 years ago, I remember I was single, you know, fresh out of college. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made a promise to myself, you know, and Wilmington at the foot of Market Street, that if Wilmington would take care of me, I would make sure I would take care of it. And that was kind of the deal. I mean, I moved here not knowing anybody. I didn't have family here. I just knew that this was a great place to live, that people who wanted to build homes would choose to live in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these very, it was a new term. It was called baby boomers. I don't know if you've heard that term
it was
before.
A new term.
A term called baby boomers that was apparently going to be changing the face of the countryside or the nation. And it was either that or funeral homes, I think, was the opportunity. So I chose buildings. Seemed a lot more fitting with
it's
my personality.
It's above ground at any rate.
Right.
Well, that's fun. So for those of you who don't know Plantation Builders, I don't know how you don't. I mean, literally, I think you can't drive down the street without seeing the big white sign. I love the big white sign. That means something new and really cool is coming to the neighborhood.
Hopefully. Yeah. It's not everybody embraces change, but usually when they see us show up, they can breathe a sigh of relief.
I think so, because when you guys show up, you tend to keep the sense of the neighborhood that you're developing in.
And that's really important. And that's a big part of, I think, a lot of our success is not just in the historic district, but in existing communities. You know, one of our obligations to the community is to make sure that what we're bringing to the neighborhood enhances the value of everybody on the street and brings in, you know, not just more tax base for the revenue, but also something where neighbors can look at that and go, my home is worth more because of the home that's here now.
You know, we didn't say at the top of the hour here essentially what Plantation Builders does and what your mission is as an organization. Share that with us a little bit.
I mean, it's really in a nutshell, it's housing. It's places for people to live. And for years, we've done numerous different types of projects, condominiums and townhomes and all sorts of different types of housing. But our real specialty and what's really kind of as we've matured now in our 17th year,
wow,
what's really come together has been custom homes. It's been single family, mm-hmm, residential custom homes. And in most cases, they are in new neighborhoods, Brunswick Forest, Autumn Hall, you know, in various areas like that, but also a pattern of existing neighborhoods where we're introducing some of the last home sites within that community, what we refer to as infill or new home sites.
We see that a lot downtown, certainly.
Downtown is all infill. I mean, at some point where we're building, it might be a vacant lot, but it hasn't always been a vacant lot.
Yeah.
So we're shoehorning in some cases a new home, mm-hmm, that looks, feels, and appears to fit well within the pattern of the streetscape, but it has the benefits of a new home construction. It's not something I shun, but when a client in a new home lives next door to somebody in an older home and they compare electric bills, you know, I just kind of shrug because it's just the reality of the great things about historic homes are often outweighed by the benefits of new homes.
Right. You mentioned that you do a lot of building in some of what I would consider, well, I guess, living downtown. I feel like they're the new upstarts over at Brunswick Forest and Leland and the like. And throughout that, and I guess because I see these beautiful plantation style homes and these gorgeous front porches that tend to be on the houses you do. And I didn't even realize that someone could come to you and say, I want you guys to design my home in this other division.
That's probably the busiest part of my day is taking people's ideas, understanding where they're building and then what they're trying to accomplish. And bringing my experience and the years of troubleshooting other people's challenges,
yeah,
and coming up with a plan that not only fits the way they're going to live, and not the way they live today, but also the way they might live in 10 or 15 years from now, but also it has to fit their budget.
Sure.
We build in a wide range of budgets, and that's probably one of the more difficult things in kind of getting to this point is being able to you know, try to marry up all the beautiful things and the exciting things they want and a budget that they're going to live with and putting that together in a house that that works for them.
Yeah. Do people normally come to you after they've found a piece of land and then say, build something that I want here? Or does it come vice versa? Do they come to you and say, I love what I'm seeing, help me find a place? Or
we do both. I think most often by the nature of how home sites are often sold in areas like Brunswick Forest, where people might come down for a weekend, they're planting their retirement, you know, years down the road, so they might end up buying a home site.
Right.
And then from there, it's, hey, this is what we have, tell us what you think. Sometimes it's on a golf course, so it's easy to say, well, the views are going to be here, or this is what we should shoot for. But invariably, I have been the deciding factor, and it's never fun to get between a husband and wife trying to make a decision, but oftentimes, you know, I'm the expert. I'm seen as the expert. I've got a myriad of experience with regard to the different benefits that a home site can offer, not just sunlight or views, but also what existing trees might be there, or the topography. So if a client has a home site they're looking at and they're trying to decide between one or two, I'm usually brought in as the judge and mediator, and I'll be able to make a good case without knowing, you know, what, not necessarily what works best for one party or the other, but really kind of understanding, hey, based on everything you've told me and everything I understand from what you're trying to accomplish, this home site might be, you know, better suited to your needs. And I think that's really appreciated. All of a sudden, in the very beginning of the process, a client can kind of relax a little bit, let their shoulders down for just a second, start to breathe, and let us do what we do best, which is understanding how you're going to live here and how we can make that happen.
I'm guessing that, well, how do people normally find you?
It's without a doubt word of mouth.
Yeah.
It's very easy. We get a lot of calls. And, you know, it's funny. I'll meet people who have just been through so many of our homes. I've never met them. And they go, we just love this. And they'll start rattling off all these different houses. I'm like, you know, are you stalking us or what's going on? And then now, of course, with technology, it's really changed. You know, we always try to upload some cool photos from our new homes on Facebook. Our website has tremendous amount of imagery. A really good tool for somebody who might be building is Houzz, Houzz.com. We've got probably 800 portfolio pictures on Houzz, without a doubt, a really great showcase. But last year, you know, every December, I have to kind of look at the homes that we're building and try to track back where that client came from. You know, who was that procuring cause? And certainly real estate agents and referrals are a big part of it. But we've had two model homes last year, one in Brunswick Forest and one in Autumn Hall. And those homes that were in the Parade of Homes drove almost 75% of our new homes.
I was going to say, I bet home tours that...
It's great because people can do a couple of things. They're able to kind of see and feel and touch our product, and they can interact with me without feel like they're interviewing me or without feeling like, you know, I'm trying to sell them something. I'm trying to just kind of explain ourselves and what we're doing. So they kind of really understand our philosophy and our process, and they can walk through a home and see why we did the things we did or the creative touches that we introduced. And that really helps people. Again, a lot of it's like a matchmaking of personalities. There's a lot of great builders in town. Obviously, we have some specific things that we dial in on, but one of them is, I really want to know how you live. And I'm not going to try to push you into one of our plans that we've built before. Rarely are we building the same plan twice.
Really?
I don't know that we actually have built the same exact plan, but we have versions of plans where I say, you know, you seem to really like this plan, but what would make it great? And, you know, the response might be something as simple as, well, I would love a walk-in pantry, but it just doesn't look like there's any room. And within a couple seconds, I've sketched out a walk-in pantry, and they think that I've just, you know, solved all the world's problems. If it was only that easy, but that's a big part of how we capture clients' attention and get them feeling confident in what we can do for them.
Are you seeing anything? You talk about walk-in pantries. It makes me wonder, are there trends in the industry that are, I'm sure this is all cyclical because there was one time when every house being built led with the garage. Nothing made me more crazy than going to look for a new house and everything you see is the garage, not the front porch, not the front door. And I'm just wondering, what are we seeing now?
Well, a large majority of our clients are, you know, their children have moved on, they're empty nesters. In a lot of cases, they've retired to our area. Not always, but especially in some of the newer, larger communities, you know, that's a big part of it. And a lot of times I've got to remind them that the home that they might have lived in for the last 20 years, which was great for raising that family, may not necessarily be the same way. While it's familiar and comfortable, it's not going to be the same way they're going to live here. So oftentimes reminding people of focusing on where they're going to put their spend their day and their time. I tend to really dial in on the connectivity between kitchen, screen porches, your living area and your dining area. We've watched formal dining rooms almost disappear.
Is that right?
People don't
have dinner parties
anymore? One client, she said, well, I think I better go ahead and get a dining room table because I can't talk my daughter-in-law to taking the furniture. So that was, I was like, well, could we do something else with the furniture? Because why are we going to build this great room basically it's a storage place for the antique furniture. But a lot of times the casual dining and the way people live here, it is a lot more simplified and people recognize that square footage should be more meaningful and that not having, obviously more isn't better, but better can be better with regard to how your space lives. The other thing that we're watching going away, and I'm a little, not petrified, a little hesitant, I should say pensive about it, is our new model, which is an Autumn Hall coming out. It delivers for the Parade of Homes, 2014 Parade of Homes, has no tub in the master. And if you had told me I was building a $600,000 house without a tub in the master, I would have said you were just crazy. Not that I don't think that that's possible. I'm just saying that
you're pretty sure I'm crazy, right? But that's
but it's and I go in and it's a luxurious shower, great vanities, wonderful spaces, nice and bright. And our clients look at us and they say, Dave, we don't use the tub. We use the tub to wash the dog. And then I realize I shouldn't have washed the dog in a tub because now it's so hard to clean.
Right.
Or it's dusty or that's where we water the
ferns. So
you're
installing places to wash dogs.
Well, I'll find someplace else to wash the dog. But what we're finding is no longer our clients necessarily feeling like, hey, I've got to do this for resale. I've got to drop $2,000 or more on a tub that I may or may not use. Not that we don't have clients that don't enjoy soaking in their tub, but if you have a tub in your current home and you haven't used it in the last 8 years, there's really not a lot of sense in doing that in your new home. And I think between myself, our designers, and our entire team, allowing clients to feel confident in their decisions is probably the biggest success of a good project. Clients are most happy in a home where they aren't obsessed with, well, is this going to be meet a resale value? Or what are the neighbors going to think? Or what's happening? More now than I've ever in my career, our clients are looking at living in their homes much longer. Mm-hmm. When I was building in the mid-2000s, it was like, well, we'll live here for a couple of years, then we'll sell it and make millions of dollars and go out and do something else.
We've learned that about real estate.
That doesn't exactly...
We don't trust real estate that way, the way we used to.
So our clients are recognizing that even in some cases, they might spend just a little bit more than they intended. What they're getting in return is a home that they can see themselves living in forever. And that's a real win for our company.
Yeah,
that's
that's a big win for life. Tell me how technology has impacted it. I tend to go to CES every year. I love the whole tech geek thing. And I'm just curious, how does all of the new things that are technology-based for the home, are you seeing adoption of that locally at all?
Houses are really the last handmade thing. cars aren't handmade anymore. I mean, really, unless it's art, homes are really the last thing that relies on people to show up and actually do things with their hands. So if you told me years ago that I'd be relying heavily on technology, my response would have been, for what other than email or digital photos? I mean, I still joke about scrambling to take Polaroids of a job site of a client's brick or their stone to get their approval, racing to FedEx to drop the Polaroids in a FedEx, then waiting for the phone call the next morning from Ohio to say, yes, I like the one on the right or I like the one on the left. Now it's instantaneous. Not only is it instantaneous with how we communicate information to our clients, most of which don't live in the area, but it's instantaneous with information within the field. I would be just petrified when a client wanted to make a change because the likelihood of that change getting from my client's idea or their mind onto me kind of determining how to implement that, and then me getting that to all the people who have to actually execute. There's a lot of, it's that old electricity game. A lot of people can misinterpret things, even with the best drawings and the best notes. Now, instantly, if a project changes, if a client makes an adjustment, I populate something on a web-based app. It's immediately emailed and text messaged to the people that have to know about it. It's not like when I get home, I'll check my email. It's on a guy's phone.
Right.
That's a big difference. As far as our clients go, every day, and I'm no exaggeration, every day something is coming across my desk from a vendor or an app developer who is creating something for houses. The big thing for us a year ago was the Nest, which is the thermostat that learns how you live in your home. It shows up on your iPhone. You can turn things off. You can adjust things.
Oh, cool.
Google just bought it for $3 billion. So obviously we were forward thinking, and that became a standard for all of our clients. We started installing the Nests in the spring of 12. Every home has something that is reducing every single month with nothing else different. That thermostat alone is saving our clients between $20 and $40 a month on their electric bill.
Wow.
That's $500 a year in some cases. That's something that costs us just a few bucks different. And And every one of our clients has Wi-Fi. So it's not like I've got to, you know, convince somebody to do something add on or different. The other side of it, though, has really been, again, in the simplicity of smartphones being able to kind of take over, or iPads take over certain functions in the house. Our new refrigerators will tell you when you're getting low on milk and when you're getting low on eggs.
Come on. Seriously?
You will get, if you set your phone up, you will absolutely get, I have an egg timer on my thing. If I'm down to two eggs and it knows I'm at Harris Teeter, it reminds me with a text message.
Okay, that's just too cool.
But it didn't cost anything.
I still make a shopping list.
I do too, but I mean, I never remember to look at eggs. And so now I don't have to worry about that. Or, you know, do I have a quart of milk left, or a half gallon? It'll, that kind of thing is just the very tip of the iceberg of where we're going to see the technology within homes. And it used to be cost prohibitive to get these things. I mean, when clients wanted security cameras, or when they wanted to know who was at their door before they got to the door, before they pushed the doorbell, it was very expensive technology. It is nothing. I mean, it is, in some cases, less than $100 to make those enhancements to a client's home.
You said a lot of your clients are coming from out of town, and a lot of them are looking to live here, retire here, age here. Does that change the design of the house at all?
I think it does. Interestingly, though, even my families are somewhat brainwashed into feeling as though a master bedroom down, which is something I never grew up with. Until I moved to Wilmington, master bedrooms were upstairs with the rest of the bedrooms.
Right.
Here in Wilmington, I'm rarely, and I say rarely, maybe three times in my career of hundreds of homes, have I put a master bedroom upstairs. Mm. So the master bedroom has kind of always been downstairs in our area. What I've been comfortable communicating to clients, though, because a home, the first floor of a home can be very expensive. I'm building more foundation and more roof if that first floor is getting larger and larger.
Uh-huh.
So clients seem to be more and more comfortable with pushing a couple of rooms upstairs. The master, of course, is still downstairs. A junior suite might be downstairs for an elderly relative or somebody coming down. But the secondary and tertiary bedrooms being upstairs with a bonus room, which most rooms typically have as opposed to a basement, is being more and more accepted, and that's a big deal. As far as aging in place and universal design, again, it's just become kind of ingrained to leave the doorways a little wider. Clients don't necessarily want daily reminders that they're getting older. Most of my clients, I was giving one of my clients a hard time. Her name is Nancy. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm not old. I went to Woodstock. And I was like, you know, Nancy, you're old.
Yeah.
So I give them a hard time when they kind of still, and gratefully so, they see themselves still as a different age than they are. So I try to make as many of those things invisible. It's in the event that a client needs some assistance as they age, they call us, and we can make the adjustments really quickly. But day to day, their house looks and feels just like anybody else in the house would.
So Wilmington is in this, I think I get the feeling that, and you've been here a heck of a lot longer than I have, but I get the feeling that we're on the cusp of some really interesting changes to downtown, to maybe more economic development, to maybe, I'm getting this feeling that there's a new vibe. What are you guys seeing out there? What do you see in terms of the future for home building in the region? What do you see in terms of, Lindsay, in terms of jobs? What's going on in Wilmington?
I think Wilmington is beginning to attract companies as well as employees that are looking for jobs. To come to this area and live on this beautiful beach is quite enticing.
And the beautiful river.
River, absolutely. Downtown.
I love my river.
Absolutely, right across the street. There's a company, for example, here that came from Chicago, and my question to him was, what brought you here? And it was the water. And he would sail his sailboat from the north to the south and came by here numerous times. Didn't like the South Carolina beaches, but loved Wilmington. And so he moved his company down here.
That's great. We need more of that.
Absolutely. And there are larger companies that the Wilmington Development business is working on getting here that will hire 100 or 200 employees. We've got companies here already that are expanding and hiring on hundreds of employees. So I see a big change with Wilmington in that aspect, becoming more of a enticing area to be. And
so that it's more than just college students and then retirement and then what happens in the middle.
There's a lot in the middle that can be filled. And we also see, you were talking, Dave, with your older people that are retiring and coming here. We've placed several candidates in jobs where their husbands were retired, but the wives wanted to still work.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so they've reached out to us to find jobs for them as well.
And I would echo what Lindsay is saying. We are seeing many more instead of just college students or retirees, we're seeing, you know, everyone in the middle come in. And I'm seeing some very positive and very encouraging trends with our clients. Every home we're building now, the sense of urgency has increased, which is not really necessarily a good thing when you're planning a major purchase.
May not be good for you, but
well, but what's happening is, in most cases, these clients are they're not homeless, but they are living in temporary quarters, temporary housing. They've sold their home. They have a real clear idea as to what they have to spend. They're choosing Wilmington for a number of reasons. Speaking to my kind of retirees, because that, I think I understand them most as I've dealt with them most. They don't want to go to Florida. That's where their parents went. That's where old people go.
That's where old people go.
That, you know, for a whole host of reasons. And name one, Florida no longer has the same desire for your mid-Atlantic states as it might once have had. People do want the seasons, although this week would have probably been a bad example. So Wilmington is seeing a number of people choosing our area because it does offer a diverse climate, a diverse environment, ease of access. It is not hard to get from here to somewhere else. While we may not be a major metropolitan area, we are still conveniently located either by car or plane to a number of things. But also, people typically leave behind family, especially in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, and Wilmington is still a day's drive away. So it's not a burden to go and spend a week somewhere, and you burn 2 days up and 2 days back trying to get there. As far as long range for Wilmington, though, we are, without a doubt, still the darling of a lot of places. People say, well, you know, I tell them I'm from Wilmington, they go, I love Wilmington.
Yeah.
And they think if the economy or their job or their position was just a little bit better, they'd find themselves here. As the outlook in our area continues, as a nation continues to improve, people will choose to live where they want to live and less concerned with where they have to live.
Well, I want to live here.
Me too.
Dave, build
you
me a house.
Here?
Well, you guys, this was really fun. It was a great way to spend Friday afternoon. I appreciate you coming on down. If everybody wants to know how to build a house and where to go to get information on building a house.
We're easy to find. It's not hard to. We're located in downtown Wilmington, but if you Google Plantation Building Wilmington, we'll pop up instantly. We get a lot of people who know more about our company than I think I do sometimes because they've read everything and then they show up on a Monday morning and go, man, this they know the house. I'm thinking, wait a minute, where did you find that picture? I have to see what you're talking about. But it's easy to find us, and
excellent.
We'd love to talk with you.
Great. And Lindsay, what if I'm a burgeoning business and I'm just going like crazy and need to hire a bunch of people? Where do I go?
You go to greenresources.com, first of all, learn about our company. We have a site on there for employers to look at as well as employees. The best way, though, is to call me.
How do they do that?
910-251-0505. And we will talk with you immediately, come out to visit you, and see exactly what you need.
Excellent. And all this information will be on our website as well. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Ann.
Great fun.
Thank you, Ann. Enjoyed it.
Great. And this is Ann Ravel-Petcher signing off for Wilmington Business Radio. Until next time.